Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 295, top of the day to you, Steph.
Why, hello. You caught me mid-chip crunch I had to just stop.
I wasn't going to wait. I wasn't going to wait.
It was like a frozen moment.
You got They're just salted ones, but they're good.
They're quite salty, actually. Glad I've got a glass of water.
Kettle chips often are.
Delicious, but salty.
They're cheaper. And in these times of...
We have to.
Economic peril.
We have to. If only Jewel was still around or Franklin's.
I thought you meant the singer. Home. I was like, what, so she can sing Who Will Save Our Soul?
Look, she could. She could share her earnings with us since we're all so poor.
I remember
But
Jewel.
I was talking about Jewel the supermarket and Franklin's where you could buy home brand. And it was really home brand.
It was, yeah. Instead of like, you know, only 5 cents cheaper. Or sometimes more expensive.
Yeah.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
We've been watching Below Deck Down Under.
Yes, we have.
What else have I been watching? Oh, we watched the first couple of episodes of Only Murders in the Building Season 3.
We did. Oh, my gosh, we did.
Yeah.
Yep. And I've started The Block.
That sounds like a podcast to me.
Sounds like a podcast. We came prepared.
We did come prepared.
Did you hear us talking about chips? Is that what it was? You heard us talking about chips because you're obsessed with food.
So we probably need to make a formal announcement. The arrival into the studio of Eddie the Kitten. He's a ginger cat.
Hello.
Adopted from the RSPCA. He's currently on the desk trying to eat the chips.
He's food obsessed.
Totally food obsessed. Food obsessed.
Hello.
He's so funny.
He's trying to lick my fingers.
Because I got salt on them? Yeah.
You need a glass of water too.
Do you know what I caught him trying to eat this morning? Because I made dinner this morning for tonight. Red capsicum.
Oh.
He's like, I'll have that. And when it's raw and it's capsicum. And he's like,
Don't care.
Don't see what your problem is. Eddie, you're really annoying, but welcome to the podcast. Okay, thanks. You're going to turn the recording off.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's going to be one of these.
And he's got a bell, so we're going to hear him the whole time.
And he squeaks a lot.
Yeah, that's how I heard him at the door.
There you go. You can have that little bit. I can hear the crunching. He's like, what? Okay, I want to get into we don't have a quiz, but you said you'll come up with one.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, cool.
I will.
All right, well, let's get into the meows. Whilst we're all crunching on food, I thought we'd start with something Australian.
Mm-hmm.
A trailer has dropped about the return of an iconic soap opera. Do you want to guess what
Neighbours.
Yeah, absolutely.
It didn't go far,
got it
did
in
it?
One, no.
Get your
you got it in one.
Stop stealing my chippies.
Yeah, because it's going to Amazon.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm reading it from, sorry if I'm eating, but I feel like I've been doing not only this podcast but other podcasts and radio long enough to just go bugger it with the rules sometimes. And the rules are don't eat, but I can't be bothered.
It's your podcast.
It's my podcast. Do whatever I want. This is from Deadline. So this is an American article. So some of it's written a bit weird. They're saying it's new to Amazon Freevee Home. I don't know what that means, but it's going to be on Amazon Prime here. And it's going to pick up 2 years from when it left.
I was just about to ask, is there some sort of, is there some sort of a change, not on Ramsey Street or just 2 years later?
A couple of years later. I haven't looked at the, so the thing about Neighbours is I haven't watched it for years because I feel like for me it was when I was like young teen to teen and then I kind of stopped watching Australian soapies. But Misha Barton and Guy Pearce looks like they're going to be in it.
Misha Barton, as in the OC, Misha Barton.
Yeah.
What?
I'll read it to you. The trailer showcases all of the Neighbours' fan favourites, and there'll be a guest appearance in the new season from huge stars who made their name on the Australian soap, including Misha Barton.
No, I think we've got the wrong person.
Okay. What's Misha Barton and Guy Pearce?
Well, Guy Pearce, I mean.
Legend. I mean, Guy Pearce is Guy Pearce, and he was on Neighbours. So that's exciting. He'll be back. It was on Channel 10. Then they moved it to one of their sub-channels. They lost their funding from England. I think it was on ITV or something. Channel 5. Channel 5 it was on. They said they don't want to pay for it anymore. And then Amazon went, all right.
We'll do it.
Stream it. So, I hope that it lasts a long time.
Me too.
It may not last the 30 years.
But what a new legacy.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's lovely.
I bet the Brits will be straight back into watching it.
And if most countries have Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. There's actually some good Australian stuff on Amazon Prime at the moment. I mean, I was talking about Deadlock the other week. I was talking about The Lost Flowers of Alice Hart last week. Some really good stuff.
Really good stuff.
Do you remember a film called The Help? It was based on a book. I think I read the book, not the... I think I'm getting it mixed up with The Beekeeper. Do you remember The Beekeeper?
I think you definitely read the book.
I did read the book. Oh, okay. Then I would have read the book.
Yep.
Jessica Chastain was in it, and she said that she loved being in it so much. She's got a bit of an idea that could potentially be a sequel to The Help.
Yes.
Mainly because she wants to reprise her role in the film, and she just wants to hang out with Octavia Spencer again.
Nice. Like,
she wants
to act.
She wants to act with her. I mean, sorry, Academy Award winner.
Yeah, exactly.
Octavia Spencer. So it makes sense for sure. She would like to see where they are, you know, maybe 20 years later or something like that.
Yep.
And she said, I think about that character, Celia Foote, all the time, and I wish I could play her again. I want to do something. Celia and Minnie, see what happened with them. You know they ended up living together and raising a baby together, and they were best friends. Amazing how that would be. She said a lot of her characters, she feels like she got to experience a lot out of their lives. She said, but Celia in particular from The Help, was such a deep dive for her. She really threw herself into that character. And isn't it amazing that this many years later, I mean, it's not thousands of years, but it's probably 10 years, right?
Yeah.
She still thinks about that character and wants to still be have that character.
And if you've got the means to reprise it, do something with it, why not?
They're both A-list actresses, so they could. Hey, Eddie, he's sitting on my lap but falling off at the same time. It's fine. He'll be fine. You'll be fine, little bud. The Marvels is a movie that's coming out. It's from Marvel. Funny that. And this is the one with Captain Marvel, and it's all about females and female superheroes. And the director, Nia DaCosta, said that she kind of knows that superhero fatigue is a thing.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, even for people who weren't that into superhero things, people would have watched one or two Marvel movies. If you weren't into it, you'd be like, yeah, I'll watch it for a bit of fun. Maybe I'll check it out on a plane.
But it has been overly saturated.
Well.
You know, I think so much so that people wouldn't be inclined to just go and see that one because you know if you miss that one, there's 20 more coming in the next few months.
We've moved on to toys and dolls.
Yeah.
We just want Barbie-related movies now, that's all. It's going to push you up a little bit more. Is that better, bud? He's happy now. But this is the one with Brie Larson. She's Captain Marvel, for those of you who really have checked out solidly. Be hanging out with Kamala Khan and Monica Rambeau, but the French spelling. and they've got to save the universe together. And she said what's different about this is it's more wacky, more silly. So maybe more like you expect a superhero film to be, or like a cartoon. Yeah. She said in this that they're not on Earth. They're going to all different worlds. And she said these worlds are like no others that you've seen in the MCU. Lots of bright, colourful.
Okay.
So it might be fun. I'm sure it will end up on Disney Plus at some point in time. So maybe if you're not invested in going to the movies to watch it, you might be invested enough to go and see.
Why not? When it's at, you know, your remote control, you can just go for it.
You could probably even just watch it on your phone.
True.
I'm sure the movie makers would die if they knew how many people actually just watched their IMAX filmed, edited films on their phones, but we do, so soz lol.
We do. We get invested in that tiny little screen.
We really do, like more than you think.
Mm.
Zachary Levi was Shazam in a couple of Shazam movies, including the one that was released earlier this year called Shazam! Fury of the Gods, and it was one of the biggest flops this year. And he is kind of saying to fans, don't, like, actively choose not to go and see garbage movies. So he's must be talking about his own. He said, and I quote, "Personally, I feel like the amount of content that comes out of Hollywood that is garbage, like they don't even care to actually make it good for you guys. They don't. How many times do you watch a trailer and go, oh, my God, this looks so cool. Then you go to the movie and it's like, this is what I get." And he went on to say, you know, that they know what you've bought that ticket. Once you've bought that ticket, it doesn't really matter because you'll watch the next trailer and go, oh, that looks brilliant.
Yeah.
And the whole cycle continues,
you
know.
He's got a point. But is he trying to double play us?
I think he is.
Don't go, oh, someone told me not to go to that movie and then no one will remember that he was in it.
Yeah, maybe.
So it doesn't, you know, adversely affect his career.
Well, he's kind of saying that it's highly unlikely there will be another Shazam film just because this one wasn't so successful. Bad. So maybe he's trying to get more into the art/serious films that he will then say, now this is the kind of film you need to go to the movies
spend
to see.
Spend your money on this one.
This is the one. This is the one. Mm. So, yeah, it's remarkable to me how many stories that you can find out there. Like I say, every week now, even with the writer's strike and nothing happening, it saves us. Thanks. You know, he said that. Jessica said she wants to be in The Help again. There you go. We've got a new segment.
They're looking into the future.
Yeah.
Aren't they? They're
I think so.
The writer's strike might last a while,
so
but not forever.
Do? Yeah. Do you think we should get into some watching suggestions?
I think we should.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Because we've got a lot to talk about. We've watched stuff together, and when you tend to watch stuff together, there tends to be more of a discussion.
Yeah, that's how it usually happens.
I kind of want to get into Murders in the Building. Okay. Oh, sorry, Only Murders in the Building. Season 3, we got a nice tease for it at the end of season 2.
Didn't we ever?
In fact, we saw what looked like a murder.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Rudd's character. But there's lots of twists and turns in Murders in the Building. So what you just need to remember is to watch each moment.
Mm-hmm.
Remember what happens in each moment.
But do not jump to conclusions.
Don't jump to conclusions and go along for the ride. Now, did we see in that little snippet any Meryl Streep? I don't think we did.
No, I don't think we did. But we knew from an Instagram post that she was part of it. And that in itself was enough of a tease to go, I'm in. I was already in, but I am in for season 3.
Because when that little photograph appeared on Twitter, we didn't even know Paul Rudd was going to be in it.
No, we had no clue.
It was just like in fact, I think that was them saying, there's a season 3.
Yeah. By the way,
have you seen who's in it?
Yeah.
So it wasn't until the first episode that we saw Meryl Streep.
Mm-hmm.
And I understood straight away why they would have been doing cartwheel backflips, parties, celebrations, having gotten her.
Yes.
Because they needed an actress who could get up on stage and audition for a role that was only one scene, I think she said.
Yeah.
This is just for one scene, isn't it? It's for a Broadway play. And her, like the story in Murders in the Building, it's supposed to be her performance is supposed to blow Martin Short away.
Yes.
Like, oh, my God, where have you been my whole life of thing.
She was not supposed to be anything that you expected.
No.
It was actually introduced as a bit plain, a bit vanilla, a bit boring, but, you know, we've got 10 minutes
just
before lunch. Let's just do it.
Yeah. We'd quickly get this quick nanny casting audition out of the way. So she blew not only Martin Short away, but we were even commenting, like, how if you were sitting there in that empty theatre and Meryl Streep comes in and you're like, oh, my God, it's Meryl Streep. This is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then she starts doing that performance, which is probably nothing like any – like it's nowhere near the caliber that she win awards for, you would watch that performance and just be like, oh, this is acting.
Yeah.
Oh.
I knew she was good, but she's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just takes you along immediately. Without a doubt, she assumes that character and you, for a second, you forget she's Meryl Streep.
And the funny thing about it was I was suddenly invested in this character who's just a character that Meryl Streep is playing.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's
exactly.
Levels of not real in there. It was amazing.
Anyway, it has gone off with a great start, Only Murders in the Building. Disney released two episodes once, which is
I'm glad they did, because he needed that second episode to really get into the swing of, oh, this
yes,
is what we're doing.
You did, because we were already invested. We were invested in season three from that photograph.
Oh, hell
so
yeah.
So we were going to watch. But to get a real idea of the story and the first awesome twist, we needed the two episodes. And I was ready for the third. I was really ready for it.
It was great to get the team back together again. People have slightly moved on. Others haven't. Some are having to potentially, I was going to say having to move away, but they're kind of emotionally moving away because they have to move away.
Yes.
Which I think is interesting. I think that's going to be a cool little storyline.
Yeah, a few side characters have stepped up a little bit more. You know, characters we did see in the past two seasons. Well, yeah. Other people carked it, so.
Yeah. Nathan Lane's not going to be in this one.
Mm-mm.
So we haven't even gotten a mention of him. But no. There have been others there that you just go, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But suddenly they're in more scenes.
Yes.
But they're people, and particularly there's an actress who Uma, I think she's playing. I think that's the character's mm-hmm. name. Mm-hmm. You'll know, like if you've watched Only Murders in the Building, you'll be like, oh, yeah. She has been in lots of other things before, like that actress. So you know that she couldn't have just been a bit part.
No.
So this is why they had her from the very beginning. I love this series. I just think the series is so good. That first season was phenomenal. That second season was so good, and this third season is shaping up to be amazing as well. I did see a review somewhere saying that it's more melancholy, and I understand what they're talking about. It is a bit melancholy, but you do have Paul Rudd there who is hamming it up.
Oh, yeah, hugely. And Martin Short.
I mean, Martin
constantly.
Short. Yeah, exactly.
But I feel like you have to give a little bit of leeway with the first few episodes of a season or a show to let them set the story in place. And perhaps that is a bit melancholy because, you know, time has changed, time has moved on in the story, and we need to catch up. But I don't think the melancholy is going to stay. I think it's too clever.
Even though there is a little bit of melancholy, it's still got that Only Murders in the Building comedy in there, that funniness, that quirkiness. And the thing that I already know about Only Murders in the Building is that I'm trying to pay attention to the little things that are just, they're almost like just quick little quips or a thing that quickly they show, and then, you know, the character puts it away and you're like, that's coming back.
Very much so. Even at one stage there was a glass that was just a bit too much in shot, and I thought, remember that?
Yeah,
might be nothing, but remember it. But I remember when we were watching the first season and I said to you, even the theme song has clues in it.
It does.
And if we keep watching that theme song as the story goes on, we'll understand more and more. And I did notice that season three, it's the same, but there are tiny little differences. And I thought, oh, I love it.
Yep.
But
there's a replacement for Bunny who is in like – in the first couple of seasons. So, yeah, I'm going to pay more attention.
Yeah.
As the episodes go. It's a hard one in how you want to watch it, because they're going to now release it week to week. But do I want to watch one a week, or do I want to save them up and watch two in a row? Because I quite enjoyed watching
Definitely two.
All right, we'll do that then.
Definitely two.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So we'll check in every couple of weeks then. Yeah, that's a good idea. Another one that we've been watching and catching up on, because there's been a lot of actual drama, is Below Deck Down Under.
Yes.
there was, so there's been a few episodes now. I think they've had maybe, trying to think how many different charter groups, maybe three?
I think we're up to about episode 7.
So, yeah, and they're usually about two episodes per group, mm-hmm. I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how they mm-hmm. usually do it. Yeah, okay, so maybe we're up to three charter groups. And the bosun is an Aussie guy. Different guy to the one from the first season. He's not there. It's a different guy, Luke, and he's no longer there. I'm just going to say it because it's all over the internet.
It's all over the internet, and I think we are in a place that we can speak about it. But it ran over 2 episodes, and 1 episode in particular – while I love the show, it left me feeling a bit icky after watching it, but at the same time really proud that it happened. Not that the incident happened, but the action that was taken following happened. And if you don't want to know about it, skip ahead in the podcast because I'm just going to announce
it.
But Luke was fired for sexual harassment, and he was very, very drunk and took an opportunity to go into a girl's bedroom, a crewmate's bedroom, who was also very drunk but had gone to bed.
She'd gone to bed.
She was asleep. She was asleep. And he went into her room naked. To the absolute credit of the producers and the chief stew, Aisha, who went in and stopped. And that is only the second time in Below Deck history we have seen
the
production crew. The first time was when Ashton got his leg caught in a rope and was actually pulled underwater by a moving
boat.
And a cameraman put his camera down and jumped in, tried to catch him. This time the producer actually banged on the door, opened the door to this crew.
You've got to get out, Luke.
You've got to get out. No, she said she was going to bed. You've got to get out.
You go away. Go away.
Yeah. And he's like, no, we can't do this. Can't do this. And they got him out, and his reaction wasn't a telltale sign.
He threw a tantrum.
Guilt and just, it was awful. It was so awful.
He got really angry at them telling him to leave her alone.
Yeah. And before this incident, Chief Stew Aisha had already said, I don't like the way he's looking at this girl. I'm not going to leave her alone. She went, left her for 5 minutes, and that's when it happened. And then afterwards she said she was not going to leave her alone, slept on the side of the bed to make sure that this girl was safe. And then it just got too much for her, and she actually went to the captain in the middle of the night, probably would have been, 3 a.m., do you think?
Something like that.
Knocked on the door, woke him up and said, this is what's happened, and immediate action was taken. Now, what's been icky for me is thinking, what could possibly have happened? If he can do that when there's a camera crew, and not just a camera crew but cameras around, what does he do when there's nothing? And that's hideous and awful. And the other icky thing I kept thinking about was maybe 5 years ago, if not less than that, that kind of stuff could have happened in reality television and it would not have been shown. It would have been edited out. But absolute hats off to Bravo and that production of saying, you know what, nut. We're making a stand and we're showing that we do support the victims in this. And I just thought that was an incredible stance. And following that incident, he got fired immediately, escorted off the boat, and another crew member, this time a female, was also fired a few hours later for having disrespect for her crewmates and also crossing the line. What she was doing was also considered sexual harassment.
Against another male crew member.
It was – I know we love Below Deck and we talk about it a lot, but I think this was a really important episode, I think, for anybody to watch, to know that that behaviour is not – accepted, or
and not just accept, not just accepted on a boat, not just accepted on reality TV, but not accepted anywhere
and made a point of. not hidden, not swept under the carpet, but you cross the line. This is not only a workplace, but you're a human being. You do not cross the line and you're out. And not interestingly, I guess, but both the people who fired, their Instagrams have been switched to private.
Yeah, right.
No wonder. I mean, they should be embarrassed by themselves, and really makes me worry what that guy's done and but he should have been, you know, charged for.
I don't know. Mm. Obviously, I don't know him. I don't know any of his history. But if he had the confidence to get on television and have cameras film him for almost 24 hours a day, he mustn't think that he does anything wrong.
I completely
agree.
Like
I said, I don't know. I'm just kind of trying to think about how somebody like that thinks.
There's a level of arrogance. I mean, there is a huge level of arrogance. But what's interesting is from the first episode, those two people who got fired 7 episodes later, you and I didn't like them from the beginning. And I don't know that that was because of editing. I really don't think so.
I don't know.
I think there was a few comments and behaviour that they presented towards their staff members that made us all go, I don't know. But how can you just trust an intuition?
Yeah, exactly. And I thought it was important for them to do a check-in with what's happening later on with the rest of the season.
Mm.
So they did a coming up in the rest of this season of Below Deck, and we see that there's a carryover champion or in that somebody is coming back who was a bosun on another ship that we've seen, I think, for a couple of seasons.
Yes.
That guy's coming back, and it looks like maybe he's not going to gel with the rest of the deck crew. And there is a new stewardess coming in, and it also looks like she's not going to gel with the already interior crew. So it's – even though everybody who was left there at the end of this episode, they all felt really good about it. Everybody felt better, felt more like a cohesive team. They, you know, they went through this thing together.
Mm.
Maybe it's not going to be the happy ending in terms of the charters. All the charters are going to be nice.
Well, no, I mean, it is a reality television show. There needs to be drama. You can't have the drama 7 episodes in. And then smooth sailing.
We had a great time.
It was lovely.
Yeah, nothing happened.
Guests.
Yeah.
You know, the producers are going to throw spanners in the works. Yeah, finally they would just sort of share out the spanners and not to the same people who have to suffer.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
It was a heavy episode.
It was.
But I'm really glad that it aired.
It felt real. It actually felt reality.
It did feel really incredibly real.
Look, let's have a bit of a palate cleanser. You said you started watching The Block?
I started watching The Block. So this is the quite famous Australian television show, renovation show, where they have 5 houses and 5 teams, and they have to renovate the house pretty much. They start with a shell and they essentially not just gut it, just change it completely.
There's different teams, right?
Different teams every year. It's up to season 19. Now, season 18 was not – it was a rating success, but the auctions at the end of the show were a complete and utter failure. So there was a lot of talk as to whether or not it would ever happen, this block would ever happen again. Anyway, it's come back. It's fighting strong just like it always has, but it's got some changes this year, which I think
freshens it up
a little bit, and it's feeling good. So there are some new rules. Now, the rules for The Block have pretty much been there the entire time. But the new rules are that Scotty Cam, who's the host, he's giving the contestants the full budget up front. They used to do this and people were running out of money early on, so that then they released it room by room. They're just giving them the full budget. They are also giving them a team of builders that Scotty employs and pays. And so that's a huge change, because they would just have to find their own builders and pay them, and they would lose a lot of money because they would have to basically hire people to come in. And if they weren't ready, they were paying tradies 50 $100 an hour just to stand around and wait.
So it feels more like a TV show now.
I feel like in a way they've kind of taken some of the fourth wall away and let you into it. That's fine. The other thing is, maybe 2 years ago, there was a great controversy where one of the contestants actually cheated by sneaking into the production company's office and taking a photo of the schedule. So in block history, they never release the schedule. They would just say at the end of every week, okay, next week you're doing the master bedroom.
Oh,
next week
so
you're doing the kitchen. They knew. So it was cheating because they could plan ahead.
Yeah.
They have given the entire contestant teams the whole schedule for the entire block. So this will change up what it looks like, how it feels, because there's not going to be that surprise of, oh, crap, we're doing kitchens now and we aren't ready for it. The other change is that one of the longstanding judges, Neil Whittaker, has announced that he's going to take some time off from this season. He's only doing a few of the episodes.
So he's like Gale from Top Chef.
Yeah, he's totally Gale. He is.
He's the Gale of the block.
Yeah, and he is being replaced on those weeks, not by Gale's replacement and not by Gale, but by Marty Fox, who is a renowned real estate agent. You do? You probably
know
the
name?
Then. From the block. I don't think you would know him.
Oh, I'm thinking Marty Sheargold.
Yes.
Sorry, he's a comedian from Melbourne.
Yeah.
Probably still on radio.
Probably.
But I don't know.
I don't know
Melbourne.
How good he'd be at judging rooms for real estate.
Come on.
I mean,
everything's subjective.
He'd 100% back himself. But
yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
I would watch that, actually. Oh, sorry. Marty Sheargold's also in Fisk.
Yeah.
I've gotten you really sidetracked. I apologize. I'll stop talking.
Okay. I'm just going to finish on one last thing. I got a little bit sucked in because two of the contestants, they're not in a team together, but beside the point. One is called Leah. The other one's called Steph. I was like,
no,
I'll watch it.
No, that's amazing.
Spelt Leah incorrectly though, but
yeah,
we'll just forget about that.
Well, yep.
That's it.
Leah gets auto-corrected to Kia or Liam.
Oh, yeah.
And then some people reply to emails, hi, Lisa.
Because I did misspell my name and my own signature at the bottom.
And in my email address.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
I've been trying to learn my name since I was four.
Sorry.
And I just, it's the S. I just can't get it.
It's a silent S.
silent S.
So confusing. I want to get into a quiz, but I haven't done it. But you said that
I'll do a
were
quiz
willing.
For you.
Okay. Now it's time for the quiz.
Because we had a very deep, heavy conversation about Below Deck, Down Under, and it was predominantly about people being fired. So my quiz is,
yes,
what did this person get fired for?
Oh, my God, I
Below
love
Deck
this
edition.
So much.
Okay. Now, I don't expect you to remember everybody's names because, remember, these people did get fired. So they might have only been there at the beginning. So if you need a clue, I will show you a photo of their face.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Oh, I've already got like two people in mind.
Okay.
Was she fired?
Okay.
No, I think she stayed there the whole time. Okay. I've still got people.
Peter Hunziker.
Nah, I need to see a face.
Yeah. We know him as Pete. I'm showing her a photo.
Oh, Pete disappeared halfway through the season. Like he just wasn't shown. Like he was there for the whole filming.
Yes.
But they just cut every single scene that he was in. Oh, it was like Mediterranean or yacht. Or it might have been Mediterranean. I can't remember.
Yes, it was Below Deck Med.
He'd done
Captain
something
Sandy.
Dodgy. What was it? He'd done something. He said something on social media. What was it?
It was a racist social media post that came out, was discovered, and he was just edited out. He never was fired by Captain Sandy.
Because they didn't know at the time.
They didn't know at the time. And he had some storylines at the beginning.
And they just
Yeah, and then he was just this person just occasionally in the background.
It's so funny.
I thought I'd throw you. Yeah, it was a bit of a curveball, that one, but yeah, you got it. Yeah,
they had to do
it.
Some quick editing. That was good. Thank you, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, here's a good one. The girl.
Yeah.
Below deck with Captain Lee.
Yeah.
Her name is Elizabeth Franchini.
Oh, so she did get fired. That was the one I was thinking about.
She did get fired.
So she, at one point in time, was sitting at the dinner table that, like, the guests sit at.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she was on the phone FaceTiming her spiritual advisor or something. And Captain Lee's like, what are you doing? She's like, oh, can you just I'm just speaking to my spiritual advisor. I don't remember why she got fired apart from just being weird.
I think probably the weirdness headed her up to the bridge for that conversation. But she did officially get fired for lazy.
Yeah, she was quite lazy.
And also using guest spaces without asking. That's so she would go and sleep in the guest cabin.
That's right. It's a big no-no.
And she was fired right before they closed down for COVID.
Yes.
They all went home.
So that was the Francesca chief stew. Yeah. She's from Sydney. Yeah.
Okay.
Eddie is doing a bit of squirming, but he's still on my lap. But now he's rested his whole, like, his front legs and his head on one of my hands. So clearly I can't do anything. That's the rule with the cat, right? If a cat gets on your lap, you can't move. That's the rule.
Leah, I sent you a thing on Instagram today. It's called feline paralysis.
Oh, I'm going to have a look at that. I like that name.
I saw it and I thought, oh, you'll love that. And then you've just described it perfectly.
Oh, really? That's hilarious. Yes. That's so good.
Okay. Leon Walker.
Oh, he was the chef in season 2. He was an English chef.
Yes.
And he would make beef cheeks every single week.
Only. He would only make beef cheeks.
Like, to his defense, I understand, because all of those charter guests wouldn't know that the last charter guest ate that. Like, I get it. But he was rude. He was rude to Kate.
Very rude.
And then he'd left something in the oven and the oven set fire and he blamed Kate, and Captain Lee was like, nah, you're lying, and he got thrown out.
Kitchen fire. So he kept the kitchen in such disgusting manner that there were greasy pans.
And they just set fire.
Set fire. All right. Last one.
Okay.
Hannah Ferrier.
Oh, well, of course, famously chief stew for Captain Sandy for many a season. And Captain,
she's one of my favourite chief stews.
She's one of your favourite people, I think.
Yeah.
Famously gave – just was a great chief stew, did stuff, was a bit shirty and bitchy sometimes, but nowhere near as bitchy
as Kate,
you know?
No, not at all.
But Captain Sandy, who likes to micromanage, and we all know what a micromanaging manager's like, the worst, she would decide every now and then that Hannah was terrible.
Yeah.
Like almost every season assume that.
So much so that Leah and I have a joke now in current seasons where if something happens on the boat with Sandy, we're like, Sandy's going to blame Hannah.
It's Hannah's fault.
Hannah's not even there. She lives in a different country, but must be Hannah's fault.
It has to be her fault. But she was fired because she had drugs that weren't, like, prescription or something, drugs that weren't allowed on the boat, even though that she said that she had declared them, but then Sandy said, no, you hadn't, so you got to go. And Hannah was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
And was so in so much disbelief that left just, I don't even think she spoke. She was just like,
can't do it. I'm
can't believe
going.
This is.
Yeah.
This is it. Yeah. And that
and
was
it. And it was prescription drugs for anxiety.
Yeah.
It wasn't like hardcore illegal drugs.
But you would need prescription drugs for anxiety if you were under
Captain Sandy.
Micromanager Captain Sandy.
Absolutely.
Look, I enjoyed all of that and I got all of them.
You got all of them.
There was one of them that I was like kind of trying to remember. I can't remember his name. He was a blonde guy. He was kind of young. I think it was the first time he ever did anything like this. And he was really into meditating.
Yeah.
So he would go and meditate, you know, whilst he was supposed to be working. So he got fired for that.
I was going to choose
that was Captain
him.
Lee.
Then I'm like, oh, there's just so many
so
fun
many
ones.
Of them.
I thought I would trick you on Pete because he didn't technically get fired by a captain.
Yeah, he was there the whole time. Yep. But we just made fun of the fact that every now and then you'd see him in the back.
Ghost Pete.
What are you doing, Eddie?
What's he doing? G'day.
Oh my God, you're hilarious. Kittens are so funny. It's the first ginger cat we've ever had.
I know.
He's great.
He's so funny.
He's a funny little guy. He hasn't squeaked yet, so that's good.
I mean, squeak to get in.
Oh, yeah, true.
Yeah.
Okay. Look, we'll go and get Eddie out of the desk and we'll be back next week for more fun, frivolity and watching suggestions. On that note, Stephanie, thank you very much.
You're fired, Captain Sandy.